Okay, welcome to another episode of the Indian Cycling Podcast brought to you by The Bike Affair. Today we are going to be talking about MTB Kerala, the premier MTB event. Well, is it the premier MTB event?
No, not really, but it's the first UCI event hosted by India.
So it is kind of the premier MTB event.
Technically, it's the premier UCI event as well.
Right. So we have Prajwal with us. Prajwal is the winner of Tour of Glory 2017 and 2018. And in 2018, he actually stood fourth overall across all age groups. Then in 2018, again, he was the Telangana MTB state champion. He is also the current state champion and the record holder. But really, Prajwal, your claim to fame, the Strava KOM you hold on Karvianberg. Now, that sounds like a mountain somewhere in the Alps, but it's really just sort of a hill near where I live. And I held that KOM for the longest time, and you beat me, and that is really your claim to fame. Prajwal, now gloat and also apologize to me. Go ahead.
Oh man, I'm humbled by that. Yeah, I think my claim to fame truly is Strava. And I'm sorry for that, for stealing your KOM. But
yeah,
if you want
that
it back,
was really cruel of you, because once you stole it, the gap is so huge now, I've actually given up trying it.
Don't stop now. You've got a little bit to go. Just push for it. Come on.
Yeah. Let's try that. Okay, but on a serious note, you are still under 18,
yes.
Right? Yes, you're still under 18, and you've done a lot of MTB events. Now, for most people, road is the natural place to go. Why MTB?
So I started off riding road in 2016, and I started off with the Bike Affair. I did quite a few long rides, and I went for tours, all of that. And somewhere down the line, this was, I believe, 2017, I had a few seniors, just a year older than me, Pradyumna and Utkarsh. Now, these two are absolute dirt heads. They love the dirt. They ride mountain bikes. They're crazy people. And I don't know, they started pushing me into getting it. They started teaching me how to wheelie, how to do all these dumb tricks on my commuter bike. And then somehow my commuter bike was on the verge, it was on its last legs. It was going to break soon. And if I wanted to do anything stupid on it, I would need a mountain bike. I'd need something more forgiving. So I went to the Bike Affair, purchased a really old mountain bike. And well, in the span of 9 months, I went, I used that bike to its full extent. I won a few races. Surprisingly, this was my first race I had ever won. And from there, I returned the bike and got a bigger one. And I think from that point on, just by getting a mountain bike and riding a few trails, it sparked this flame in me. Mm-hmm. Actually, a better way of saying it is a bug bit me. Mm-hmm. And that bug has bit me so badly that I'm still under its influence today. Yeah, it was just a natural progression. I was taking my road bike off-road and doing stuff you shouldn't be doing on a road bike. So the only natural thing to do was go to a bike that was more forgiving and more tolerant of such use, which was a mountain bike. And here we are.
Okay, so here today we are specifically going to talk about MTB Kerala, which you took part in. Now, tell us what MTB Kerala is.
So, MTB Kerala is an annual event hosted by the Kerala Tourism and CFI, or the Cycling Federation of India. It is basically a meet where they invite people from all across the globe, from different countries, and yeah, even from different states in this. It's like a nationals. It's like the nationals. Except this time you have added stakes. There are no age categories. There is only women's, men's, national and international level. And you can, it's an all-in free-for-all, basically. Everybody is riding. You can really see where you are and really understand how good or how bad you are at a certain aspect of cycling. This is a really good event for mountain biking, and it's one of the biggest mountain bike events in India. The coolest thing about this year's MTB Kerala is that the UCI approved it to become a Class 2 event. That means you will get points for winning this race or coming in certain positions. And there is no other UCI event in India but MTB Kerala. So right now, this is India's premiere into the UCI events.
Okay, so you said something interesting there, that there was a national category and there was an international category. That's kind of a curious division. It's one thing to say, oh, no age categories, no under 18, under 23, because that becomes its own problem. You have to do a lot of different races. Probably logistically, it just makes sense for them to say no. And it's still a strange way of dividing, saying national and international.
Yeah, it is. It is quite interesting. So basically what they're trying to do is to make sure a lot of national riders come and participate. If there is no national category, even though there is a cash prize, many people will give up the chance of even trying because they're like, oh, we're Indians. We're not that advanced to go against a Canadian or a German or a Malaysian or Singapore. You name it, whatever country, somebody's going to find an excuse to not come. But when you add the national category and you add cash prizes to that, it draws attention. Even if you're an under 18 rider and you feel confident enough, it's pretty sure that you're going to go and throw your hat into the ring and try. So I'm pretty sure that's why they've done it. But from a personal perspective, this national international thing kind of gives you a little bit of breathing room, because as a national rider, you don't need to worry about international riders, and they are quite strong. So when you're racing, you're not always on the lookout for being lapped even before you can reach halfway through the race. Mm-hmm. So this gives a fighting chance to riders who are not as good as international level, but good enough to participate in a national category and probably finish in the top 30.
Mm-hmm. So what countries were represented? Because this isn't a country-based event. This is more of a event where you individually go and compete. But where did the riders come from internationally?
So I'd like to correct you there. Actually, riders do come representing the countries itself. Okay. So you have the, what do you call it? You have their country officials coming with them, and the whole team will come as such. Not many riders will come from abroad. I believe this year we had 14 to 16 riders from different countries, around two each country. So we had Canada, Germany, Malaysia, Singapore, Nepal, Bangladesh, Armenia, Bahrain, Iran, a couple more. Bhutan. Kazakhstan didn't come. Uzbekistan did come.
Oh, okay.
So you have a lot of countries from all across the globe, really. But yeah, they all come with their teams. They come as an international event. And riders who are going for national category or even in India, they're going from their state. Usually they're invited. Some riders can sign up and go, but most often and not, you're invited to race.
Oh, wait, so you can't just sign up for it?
You can, but usually you have to pay a fee and stuff. Whereas if you're invited by the state, everything's accommodated for.
Okay. So this, probably the international guys coming in, it's probably because of the CFI points, that they want to accumulate as many points as possible. So they're actually getting their officials along with them.
Correct. It is a UCI race now, so you are getting points for it. Mm-hmm. Even if they're small points, every UCI point counts in a season. And for countries like Nepal, Bhutan, Bangladesh, there are not a lot of races nearby where they can travel easily to race and then go back home. Most of them are in Southeast Asia or in Europe. And those races aren't easy to win in either. These are kind of like easy points, I would say, for them to achieve. If they're really good riders, they can just come, sweep it, and go back. And for that, I'm pretty sure people are coming from closer countries just for the ease of it. And for the fact that if they win or if they come in a certain position, they can get points. So I'm pretty sure that's how it works in their mind. I'm not sure though.
Okay, Prajwal, now I saw some Facebook posts about this, and friend of the show, KKR or Kiran Kumar Raju, was there. Hopefully future friend of the show, Shivan Aerohawk, was there. I love watching his videos on YouTube. So how was the race?
Oh, it was a lot of fun. So let me just give you an idea as to how the race was. It was a 4 kilometer loop, 2 kilometers up, 2 kilometers down. And it looks like you're just climbing up a mountain. It goes straight up at first and then straight down. If you were to zoom in onto the elevation profile, it has a few ups and downs in between, really minute ones, but nothing major enough to give you a break. So once you start the climb, the only time you're going to get some fresh air is at the top of the hill. That is it. And this is a very steep, very loose climb. So at some points it was about 15% on absolute sand. It was really, really loose. So you angled your body even 1 degree off and you'd lose your balance. Or if you chose a gear too high, you'd flip over. All of these things could happen. It was really steep. And at some points it was really muddy. It was really dry. It was a whole plethora of terrain. You had steep climbs, you had steep descents, rocky descents, loose climbs, everything. And yeah, the descent is also 2 kilometers. And yeah, the descent was more loose and fast-paced. It was not technically challenging. So it had only a rock garden and a couple of steep descents. But that's about it. No drops, no jumps, no berms, nothing like that. Whereas compared to the National 2018, we had a jump in between the trail, then we had a couple of rock drops here and there. We had a rock garden and all these different things that would really scare a rider. So we had all of these things in the Nationals, but in this it's a very simple, very compressed, I would say, it was a very easy descent and it was nullified. It was trying to replicate what an average MTB or average XC race in India would look like.
Okay, so now you have to take a break there and explain what is an XC, what are the various kinds of MTB races, and what actually happened in MTB Kerala.
Okay, so XC stands for cross country. So X always means cross.
Yeah, so that, when I first found out, I thought it was very cool, but is also very confusing, because when you see XC, someone says cross country, you're kind of thinking, am I looking at the right thing?
Yeah, it is a little confusing. But the easiest way to get a hang of it is CX is cyclocross and XC is cross country. So every time you see an X, you're not saying X, you're thinking cross.
Cross, okay.
So XC is the most common type of MTB race in India. And it's the biggest category, mainly because it is the closest to what a road race would be like. About 1.5 hours to 2 hours, lung-bursting terrain, absolutely steep climbs and crazy descents. It's about a 4 to 6 kilometer loop, and you're looping around maybe 6 to 8 times per race. So it's really difficult. It's mentally challenging. It's physically challenging. And you're pedaling pretty much all throughout.
Wait, when you say mentally challenging, is it because the level of attention you need to have on the terrain?
Yeah, it is absolutely that. If you were to close your eyes for 0.3 of a second, you're going to crash and bleed out. It is very, what do you call it? Yeah, you're always paying attention to the trail. You're always looking ahead. You're never looking down. If you look down at your GPS, that may be the end of your race, because you might lose control of your bike or you might slip and fall. Anything can happen in that moment when you look down or look away or close your eyes, anything. So you're always paying attention. And yeah, XC races are built such that it's a circuit which you're following around. It's XCO, actually, Cross Country Olympic. So there are a lot of cross-country races. There's XCM, XCT, XCST, XCO, and so on and so forth. I'm just going to talk about XCO, which is what we do. And it's what the MTB Kerala is, cross-country Olympic. 4 to 6 kilometer loop, 6 to 8 laps, around 1.5 to 2 hours long. And yeah, ups, downs, everything in between. Another category, you were talking about what are the different types of MTB races that happen. Another one that happens in India is downhill. So unlike a cross-country race, which is a mass start, or XCO, which is a mass start, everybody starts, first person to the finish line wins, right? In downhill, it is a time thing. It's like a time trial, but there's only one way you're going, down. So you start at the top, timer starts, and fastest person who reaches the bottom wins. The bikes you need for this and the protection you need for this is insane. You're wearing full face helmets, sometimes stronger than what you'd find on a motorbike. And you're wearing body armor, you're wearing gloves with pads in them to protect you from crash damage. Your bikes are, you cannot pedal your bike, basically. The only direction a downhill bike can go is down. You cannot sit on it and pedal. It is pretty much impossible. And that's the other category that takes place in India. Unfortunately, there's a third category called enduro. It is an in-between of a downhill race and an XC race, which unfortunately India has not gotten around to hosting. Not a lot of organizers are doing it. And that's one of the reasons why Hyderabad Racing Circuit, you've heard of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
We plan to host a race in March, which is an enduro race. It'll be the first MTB race held by HRC. And it'll be a cool concept. So we're trying to use cross-country bikes and a cross-country trail, but in the form of an enduro race. So we're trying to introduce enduro to India, basically.
Mm-hmm. So here's my basic question here. Why is downhill even popular? Because, I mean, as a race, I see the appeal of, you know, going down really fast and maybe there's a technical section there where you have to escape things. I get that. But, I mean, the terrain would be so difficult. If someone says, I did that in X seconds, and next year someone says, I broke it, unless it's on exactly the same terrain, in exactly the same place, are the records even comparable?
So records aren't comparable from different trails, but usually when you're hosting a downhill race, you host it on the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing about downhill is, you're asked why do people do it, right? Why do people buy fast cars? Why do people buy fast bikes? Because it's that thrill of moving really fast. And in downhill, the technical challenges are very technical. They're very difficult terrain. We're talking about rocks the size of, yeah, about 2 feet, 3 feet tall.
Yeah.
You have to jump over them, or maybe jumps with 10 feet gap in between them. So once you take off, the landing is 10 feet away. And if you fall before it, there's nothing to say to protect you. It's the ground and it's a gap. Similarly, there are drops, 12 feet, 13 feet drops. So basically a drop is an elevated surface and it's like a staircase from one sharp elevated surface to the lower level. But imagine taking one stair, expanding the height between the two levels to 10 feet, and oh, that's a drop.
And there is maybe a much smaller staircase there.
Yeah, there is. There is something following that. And as soon as you land, you have to get like control of your bike again and move around the next obstacle and the next obstacle and the next. It's a very taxing, very difficult type of category. I, in June, tried to race a downhill race on a cross-country bike in Bangalore, the BBCH downhill. It was on a cross-country bike, it was a very difficult challenge.
Mm-hmm.
On a downhill bike, it was a lot easier, but yeah, the thrill is pretty much the same. You're being thrown around senselessly on the terrain. There are chances of you getting badly hurt. There are chances of your bike splitting in two on some of these obstacles, but the fun is doing it. Just forget about everything, get to the top, From the top, get to the bottom. That's it. That's your goal. And that's fun.
So which of these events were present in MTB Kerala?
MTB Kerala was purely a cross-country Olympic race.
Mm-hmm.
So it was only an XC race where you get on your bike. We had to do 8 laps of 4 kilometers each.
So this is a mass start? Or
it's a mass start.
It's a mass start. Okay.
So we had, I believe, around 80 to 100 riders start all together.
So here's my question about MTB, and even after watching a lot of videos about mass start cross country, what I don't understand is if you're not at the start of the pack in the beginning, you're not at the head of the pack at the beginning, it's very unlikely you'll be able to overtake so many people and get to the front. Isn't that inherently unfair?
Yeah, so that is a case that you're making, which most likely is going to pan out. You're not going to be able to reach the front in a billion years, even if you tried.
Yeah.
It's very difficult.
But, and it's technical. It's not just the pack, it's also the terrain.
Yes, yes. And usually XC races happen on single and double track.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to explain what those two are. Single track is basically a path of trail which only one bike can fit in at a time.
Yeah.
A double track is basically where two bikes can fit, and so on. So usually most XC races happen on single and double track. Now, the only way you can overtake is in a spot where there's less technical challenges, and you tell them, I'm overtaking. And if they allow you, great. If they don't, well, you're stuck. You have to wait for a next opening. You tried to say it's really impossible if you're at the back. That's one of the reasons why it's arranged in such a manner that the fastest riders usually are midway to near the rear.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something called the box structure, which if you participate in any national race, is how you're arranged. You'll first do a time trial, and the top riders will be arranged in one box, then the next box, then the next box. And they're arranged vertical to the finish, to the start line. So that means they're perpendicular.
Yes.
So in that sense, box 1, box 2, 3, 4, and 5 will all be at the start line together, and people will be lining up behind them.
Yeah, but is it a real box if it's just a two-lane, if it's just a lane that will fit two bikes? I mean,
yeah, so initially at start, it'll be a very wide road, and you'll have like 5-6 boxes in a line. But as soon as you start, everybody sprints, scrambles for the front. And even if you're in within 10 riders of the front, you've got a very good chance of staying there, if your abilities are good. Now, for me, I was put all the way at the back of the race. I was starting, I believe, almost 4 riders ahead of the final rider. So I was really far back. And I finished in the top thing. I finished 7 out of 8 laps before being called out. And I finished further than most riders would say. So it's really up to ability. If you can endure it, you're safe. But you should be able to endure it.
Okay, so the event happened, and Shiven won the gold medal in the national category, and KKR came in second. Tell us about the international side.
So Corey Wallace from Canada, Alberta, Canada, came in first in international for men. And I believe it was Farouk who came in second. He's from Iran. I'm not sure if his name is Farouk or not.
We'll have that in the show notes.
Yeah. He finished second.
Mm-hmm.
In international. And both of these riders were incredibly fast. Iran is very well known in MTB Kerala as one of the powerhouses. The year before this, Iran won. And the year before that, Iran won. So Iran has been winning all these times. This is the first time Canada has come. And Corey just set the trail on fire. There is a live stream on Facebook. Mm-hmm. If you go to One Play Sports, there's a live stream of the entire event. And on like in the live stream, you can see Corey and Farouk just light the trail on fire when they're descending. And when they're climbing as well, their position and their the intensity they're putting up. I believe they finished the race more than 5 minutes before Shireen, something that he was... They were very, very far ahead of the pack. Mm-hmm. And in women, Women International, Naima Madlin from Germany came first. Absolutely light years ahead of everybody else. When she would pass the front line, there was nobody behind her for a solid 5 minutes, you would say. Mm-hmm. And it's insane how far ahead she was to everybody else.
So how was your performance, Prajwal?
Well, my performance was good from my perspective to a level. So something unfortunate about this year in general is I've spent more time this year in the emergency room of multiple hospitals than I have on my bike. So I've been, from January till about June, I was studying for my exams. So I didn't get to race at all. I didn't get any time to properly train on my bike, only getting about an hour to two, maybe a day. So at worst, I would do 30 minutes a week. It was really bad. As soon as that would finish, I went to Bangalore, stayed there for a couple of weeks and trained, followed immediately by getting dengue. So I was out for a month. Then I crashed. Then I was out for a week. Then I traveled in the end of August to the Eastern Ghats.
Yep.
And there I met with an accident again, and I was out for another month.
Yep.
So I've spent a lot of time off my bike, not really pushing, because everything from surgery to viruses have hit me this year, so I didn't get much time on my bike. Considering that, the fact that only a couple of months ago I was in a cast, or I had a cast on my leg and I wasn't able to ride, considering that, going to this race and actually finishing 7 out of 8 laps, similar to what I did last year, mm-hmm. is good. It shows me that I have at least regained some of the abilities from last year, but there is quite a lot more to finish for me. There's 1 month to the nationals about, and there's a lot of work to do. And that's on the race in general. I'll split it into uphill and downhill, because that's how the race was. And uphill, I feel like I did absolutely terrible. I've lost a lot of my power output for over this time, and climbing uphill has become quite a challenge for me. But come February 2020, I'm pretty sure that I'll be back to my original climbing monster phase. Mm-hmm. But on the contrary, the descent went absolutely amazing for me. Over this year, so actually at the end of last year, by November, the nationals had come and gone, and I had realized that my descending needed a big boost. I was good uphill, but I was fairly bad downhill. And one of my goals this year was to increase or make myself a better descender. I went, did downhill races. I bought flat pedals, and I've tested out riding on those downhill. I've been practicing relentlessly on getting down fast, and I'm glad to say that it worked. I'm really glad with how I did downhill. And in fact, on Strava, the Kerala downhill segment from MTB Kerala, this year's all-time best, this year's top results, I came fourth behind Shivane AQ and Corey Wallace. So I basically was the fourth fastest rider downhill this year. No, fifth. KKR beat me by 4 seconds. So, fifth fastest downhill. And that shows a lot. From, I believe, 35th last year to fifth this year. So, in general, I think the race has shown me where I am, where I have to go next, and what I have to do to achieve my goals. And it's also shown me that my practice in downhill riding has really worked out, and that there is much to do in uphill.
Good. So I just want to say that we've been trying to have this episode for quite a while now, and once I think Gokul wasn't able to make it, and then you, like you said, got sick with dengue. Then, of course, we wanted to talk to you about the Eastern Ghats, and then Gokul told me, well, on the last day, he had a crash, and you were bedridden for a few days. So I'm really glad you came, and we had a nice episode today, and hopefully, first of many.
Thank you. I'm really glad you invited me. It's actually an honor to be on this show.
It is. It is quite an honor. I agree.